Love, an important topic, as you well know, right? Now, a lot of people have taken in hand to teach this, and you've listened to someone like John MacArthur or Ken Graves, and you say, I don't think you're going to outdo them boys, Adam. I'm saying, I'm not even trying. Don't even worry about it. I don't know that I can bring anything super new to the table, but I want to help us. The word love in Greek, I shouldn't even put it that way. The noun, as you well know, love is a noun and a verb. And then, of course, is like, is it adjective? Like when you say the lovely new sofa that my spouse bought me. Is that noun? It's an adjective, right? Because it's sofa is the, and so lovely would be an adjective, right? So we can, but love, the word love, right? If I say, do you have love? Now, what is that? Is that a noun or a verb? We'll see who graduated high school here. It's a noun, exactly. It's the object of the sentence. Now, if I say, do you love your spouse? Is that a noun or a verb? It's a verb. Now, you say, well, Adam, what? Because it's the same Greek. Okay, there's more words than love. Like, in English, it's not a great language this way. I mean, for a lot of reasons, I think, but, I mean, it's the one I speak. It's the one we all speak. I don't come and, you know, I learn how to speak Mongolian or something, or, you know, Manchurian, or we may have someone show up and they speak, you know, right, Manchurian. I want to learn a language so I can, no, we're speaking English here, but the Bible wasn't written in English. And I can say, and I have said, I love my spouse. I love Suze. I've said that, you've heard me. And I would say, with equal facility, I love hot dogs. And you would say, okay, you feel about Suze the way you feel about hot dogs. And I would say, there's a little bit of a difference, but I use the same word. But I use the same word. You see? So there's different words for love in both Hebrew and Greek, and I go over this exhaustively when I teach the Song of Solomon, because in the Song of Solomon, he uses all the different words for love. He talks about love like divine love. And he talks about love like friendship love, like courtship love. And he talks about love like eros, like that kind of love, which, by the way, is mostly what the book's about. Just telling you, and you can get the Song of Solomon recordings. They're still out there on YouTube, and I suggest that you do, especially if you're married. Because I think I have a lot to say. I think I have a lot of good things to say about that book. Now here, we know that Jesus and Peter have this little dialogue going here, and the word love is used. And Jesus talks about agape love, agapeo love, and Peter says phileo love. But we don't see it in English. And I don't want to clumsily skip right over it. Now, some have said agape love means divine love. Well, I have to say, I couldn't say that conclusively, but it looks that way when we use the noun. What are you talking about? Yeah, Jesus says, this is how they know you're my disciples. The love you have one for another, that's a noun, and the word is agape. And then if we look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, you know, abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is, it's kind, it's not envious, it's not proud, it doesn't puff itself up, it's not rude, it doesn't behave itself unseemly, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it rejoices in the truth. And as all the time, love is this, love is this, love is this, love is this, and the word is agape. And we're told that the love of God, noun love, agape, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So, do you have agape love? Are you okay? Can you be given agape love? I'm saying you are given agape love by the Spirit of God, and He teaches us how to love when He comes to live inside of us. The fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse, what is it, 22, I think. The fruit of the Spirit is this, love, peace, joy, gentleness, and on it goes, but love. And the word is agape. I've been doing some homework, okay? And Jesus said, again, this is the this is how they'll know you're my disciples. The agape you have one for another. Now, let's change it to the verb, okay? Agapeo. For God so loved the world. Now, when we talk about God loving, it's a verb. God loved the world. He verb loved the world. The word is agapeo. And you say, well, that's divine love. God loved the world. Wait a second. Now I have a little problem. Where is that found? Well, it's found in John 3:16. But if you keep reading, and I've kept reading, and I've had us keep reading, but men love darkness. This is the judgment. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, what is the word for that? It's agapeo, and it's the exact same word, except in the first time it's singular, and this time it's plural. For we're talking about men, plural, and I don't want to go too far in the weeds here, but the six tenses that verbs must meet in the Greek, and we don't have all the tenses, like we don't have an aorist tense, and I don't want to get into what that's all about, but they have to agree in number. Like I would say, I am. I, the noun, am the verb, okay? But I don't say, you am. Why? Because the verbs have to agree in number with the noun. That's in English too. Well, that's the same thing in the Greek. So when we say, for God so loved the world, singular, the word by the way, love there is feminine, but it's the same word, except plural. So people have told me agapeo love is divine love. And I would say, how does fallen, sinful man have divine love for darkness? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't. When Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, I told you I've been doing some homework, you know, men, these false teachers, these false leaders, well, they love to have the preeminence. They love to be called rabbi, and they love to have the chief seats in the, when they go to the feast. What's the word? Agapeo. Now, you're telling me Pharisees and Sadducees love being called rabbi and love the chief seats with divine love? No. So, agape, the noun, does that mean divine love? I don't know. I almost think it might, because I haven't found a scriptural time when it doesn't mean that. The verb agapeo, to love, does that mean divine love? Well, sometimes it could mean that, but it doesn't always. Again, fallen, sinful men have divine love for darkness? No, of course not. So it can't mean that. Now, here's the church. Here's you. You just leapfrogged over so much bad thinking. Wasn't that easy? Agapeo does not mean, the verb does not mean divine love. And that's what we'll bring that out. Jesus says, Peter, do you agapeo, verb, love me? Do you have divine love for me? Is that what he's saying? Well, wait a second. Jesus is the one who said, men love darkness rather than light. He's not schizo. He knows how to use the words. He knows the language. Now let's find out what's going on here. You remember the come and dine, that great, lovely, we looked at last week. This is the heart of Jesus Christ for his people. Hey, let's eat. Let's sit down. Let's fellowship. Let's have like communion time. Let's just enjoy each other's company. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Why? Because he loves. First and foremost, we have to understand, it's not about religion. It's about love. It's about relationship. Jesus loves us. And he says, the most important thing is that you love God with what? Heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. By the word. By the way, what's the word? Agapeo. That's just it. So, and no one durst ask him who it was, for they know it was the Lord. And we talked about that last week. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. Again, feeding his followers with bread and fish. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was risen from the dead. Disciples, plural. Did he meet with Peter the afternoon of his resurrection privately. Yes, we're told so in Scripture. I could cite the verse, but you could look it up just as easy. Now, having said, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 15, and maybe other places as well. What was that conversation like? Last time they had spoken, Jesus says, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter did. That's serious stuff. Peter is shattered. He is broken. And I think Jesus comes and he restores him. "You're not broken past the point where I can repair," says Jesus Christ, the great physician. He can take that which is broken. And by the way, does. He'll break a life so he can fix a life. In his, because I don't need brokenness. I'm fine. Lord, thanks. Leave me be. I'm quite fixed, and I want it that way. And he says, "No, Adam, you need to be broken, and I need to put you together after my image. And I want to show you what a great healer I am. And you were born broken. You don't think like you've ever heard of people who said, like, born right the first time, and they're poking their finger in the eye of God, saying, "I don't need to be born again." Oh, please, you got to repent. You definitely do. You were born so wrong. You were not born right the first time. So it was the third time he showed himself to the disciples collectively, but he had met with Peter. And now he's going to publicly bring Peter back into fellowship and kind of bestow upon him. Listen, you can't say that Peter's not the leader of the disciples. And I know our Catholic friends have made him the Pope, right? Peter can't say anything. He's speaking ex cathedra from the chair. He can't give bad doctrine because he's indwelt by the Holy Spirit in such a way that he can never teach anything false. Scripture knows nothing of that, but he is the first among equals. There's 12 apostles. They'll find a 12th later on. This is it. Peter's the first, but he's first among equals. He's the head of the, and Jesus is going to restore him in such and such a way that publicly, that gets over his public brokenness, his public humiliation, his public. Can you imagine? Go with me. Hey, I will never. Listen, I don't know. You're talking about Jesus. I would never, ever say I didn't know you. Oh, yeah, I know. I understand. These guys, yeah, maybe they will. Me? Are you kidding me? There's no one braver than me. I am strong. Lord, I will go to the cross with you. I am not ever going to deny you until he denies them. And everyone knew it. And now Peter's back with these guys, and I think he's a little bit, what did Jesus say about this? When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. When you're converted, we say, he wasn't a Christian, he converted to Christianity. No, when you've renewed, when you've repented, when you've come back to where you're supposed to be, use this opportunity to share with others. Hey, you don't want to be all proud like that. You know what? You get this great pride, and it's going to be a great fall. I know what I'm talking about, Peter would say. And he'd give you that big old burly hand on your shoulder and tell you, because you'd feel inconsolable, like, "I messed up. I can't believe how bad I've been." And God, no. God will restore. God will forgive. God will put that in your past. He will add it to the school of faith so that you are able to help somebody. But is he going to bring it up and rub your nose in it forever? God's not like that. You have to know that about God. Now, here's God in the flesh. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon," didn't he change his name to Peter? Yeah. So how come he's going back to Simon? Well, remember, Peter means rock. Is he a rock right now? I don't think so. He's more Simon. What is Simon? Hearing. Listen, Simon, I got something to tell you. The Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. And we're in the book of, Wednesday night, Shmuel, heard of God. It's all connected. This would be Shimon, by the way, if you want to. Like, you remember that Shimon Peres, the yesteryear leader of Israel, prime minister. This is the name Shimon. Simon, son of John, son of Jonah. Jonah means dove. Is there a reference there to the spirit? I think so. Do you love me more than these? Now you have to understand what the these are, but I'm not exactly sure. These what? You think you love me more than these other guys? I don't think he's saying that. Now, I've heard people teach that. I don't know if it fits the context. These what? These fish, these fishing implements, these... Because I think he's talking about ministry. He'd call them away from that. I talked last week. God has called you to something. Go where he's called you. And the other thing, you put it behind. Now, if fishing is idolatrous to you, you need to put that behind. But I trust it's not. I trust you go a-fishing. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith, I go a-fishing. You go a-fishing, go with God. God bless you. I don't think that's an issue. I love you enough, if I thought it was an issue, I would tell you it was an issue. I don't think that's the problem. I think this is a picture of Peter turning back and backsliding and bringing others with him. Do you want to be a fisherman, Peter? Or you remember I called you to fish men. What's it going to be? Do you love me more than you love this life, this lifestyle, this great catch? I think that's what's being said in context. He's restoring him to ministry. What's it going to be, Pete? Well, I've had some issues, and I have to see a therapist, and my life is so hard right now, and why am I acting like that? Because that's what a lot of people turn towards. I got to tell you something. Loving you, you don't need a therapist. You need the love of Jesus Christ. Now, there are things, I'm not going to say all therapy is wicked and evil and you should never go. No. Sometimes you need, there's a real brokenness and you need real help by people who know how to give it. We have doctors. There is schizophrenia. I'm not, please. Sometimes it's real, a big bad situation to us. And you know what we need? We don't need a 12-step program. We need to, where are we in our love of Jesus Christ? Peter, do you love me more than these? And the word is agapeo, which could have a good meaning. This is how they'll, I want you to love one another. Agapeo one another, Jesus says. It's a good thing. The word itself is kind of neutral. It's how you use it. But again, men love darkness rather than light. Pharisees love the chief place. And you could have this agapeo love for things that aren't worthwhile. That's why I went through all that. Do you love me more than these? Simon, do you love me? Because this is what we've got to establish. If you're going to be in ministry, you know what you need? Well, you need to listen to this tape series or this teaching on and how to fix your broken. Maybe you do. But you know what you need? You need to love Jesus. That's what you need for ministry. What else do you need? I don't see anything else. Do you love me? Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Do you agapeo love me? Well, Lord, you know I phileo love you. And the word means love. There's no getting around that, but it's not the exact same term. If I said, do you love me? And you answer in kind, you said, eh, you're okay. Did you just tell me you love me? Well, yeah, I don't know, maybe, you know, but you don't use the same word. Why would you change it up? I look into my wife's eyes, I say, I love you so much. She goes, yeah, you're okay. Yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm wounded. Why don't you just tell me you love me if you love me? So Jesus asked, you love me? And he says, well, I have phileo love. Now, someone says that agape is objective love. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, I think. For God is love. Is that objective or subjective? No, God is love, objectively. This is the standard. This is what love looks like, God, right? We all know that. And then the answer has to be, well, like, I can't subjectively love because I don't have that. No, Jesus says, this is how you know that you're my disciples, the love you have one for another. And even if you count the Holy Spirit, and at this point, you can't say that because Peter doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Again, it's the verb, do you love me? And he's already said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, is how I want you to love one another. As the Father has loved me, that's how I want you to love one another. I mean, we looked at this over and over and over in the book of John. Agapeo, this is what I want. And now he's saying, well, I have phileo love. And we understand the word phileo, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, right? We know that, phileo. And some said it's like love and like. I don't want to change it to that because I think it's not the same form of the word for whatever reason. Peter's saying, well, and I don't think Peter's full of himself anymore. I think he's kind of cured of that. So I don't think he's out there. Oh, yeah, you know I have agapeo love for you, Lord. You know I love you like that. And sure, more than these bozos. No. Peter's a broken man in need of repair. And how does God repair him? How does God in the flesh repair him? Do you love me? Agapeo love? Well, yeah, I have phileo love for you. Oh, good. Feed my sheep. You got work to do. Wait, he didn't give him the same password, right? They don't have the secret handshake or whatever. You know, agapeo love? Well, get out of here. What are you doing here then? Nope. I'll accept phileo love. And on that basis, I got work for you to do. Now, if you don't see this, I got nothing else for you today. You go home. The rest of the half, you ain't got nothing. I got nothing. Do you see this? I want to serve the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Well, I love the Lord. And again, what do you mean when you say that? Right? I love Sue's, and I love hot dogs. You say, well, I only have hot dog love for the Lord. Okay, serve him hot dog love. You know what I mean? Do it with relish. I just came up with that. No, all right, I'm sorry. People are going to be leaving. Look, we love the Lord, and we don't love him as much as we... But you'll grow in love. You'll grow in love. I remember when I first got saved, people say, well, as long as you love the Lord. When I say something stupid or dumb or something, people say, it don't matter, as long as you love the Lord. And I would think, love the Lord. I'm grateful. I believe I'm saved. I really believe it. I really believe he's taken me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's adopting me. I'm his own dear son. Love him? I guess on some level, yeah. I'm just being honest with you. And what happened? Well, that was 1980. That was a long time ago. My feelings changed. My growth changed. My understanding has changed. In most every venue, most every avenue. I'm not a 20-year-old here. What do you think? I don't know what I knew when I was 20, but I know what I know now. And my love for God, I can look you in the eye and say, oh, I love the Lord. My whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen, I'm growing. I need more, but I'm going in the right direction. Can I look you in the eye and say, I love the Lord? Yeah, I can. Dramatically, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, oh, I can. But like I say, there's growth. There's a I don't know where you are. I know where we all need to get to. We need to get to that place where God objectively is love, who loves his enemies, who loves his children, who loves, just loves because he is love, and that's what he wants us to be. Are you there right now? Well, Adam, I'm going that direction. Fair enough. Feed my sheep. That's what he's saying. Do you see it? Does he need therapy? He needs to love Jesus, and then he needs to get on board serving Jesus. This is restoration. I don't want you to miss this. This is so key. This is restoration. What's ailing you? You know, because we have this outcome-based understanding of life. Suze loves me because I buy her things and I treat her nice and I sweet talk her and tell her how beautiful she is. She loves me. What about when I'm a jerk, which is a sizable amount of the time, or when I don't treat her really good, or when I have, like, I'm so busy with other things that she kind of, I put her on kind of a back burner or something like that. She loved me then? Well, let her decide. But I mean, you see what I'm saying? You know, we're not, it's not a static thing. It's a, and we want to get to that place where objectively we love because God loves. There are people who, just think again about the of the, and I'm not trying to get too political. Think about the whole Tuesday night thing. Are the people like since then have said some really crazy, hurtful, called you names because you knuckle draggers don't know how to vote anyway. What do you do with them, people? You love them? Jesus does. They're creating his image. It's not outcome-based love. I want you to understand something. You had a real good week. You love the Lord and you're hard charged and you're diving into his word. Okay, you messed up a little bit. You're quick to repent and you're quick to get right on board and you're trying to live and serve the Lord and you're really walking in the Spirit and you're really doing. You had a horrible week. You had some backsliding. You didn't really, you know, God had given you some work to do and you didn't get it done at all. You didn't read your Bible this week. You hardly prayed at all. You were really kind of backsliding. God set up at work for a situation where you could really talk with somebody and really give them the gospel. He set the whole thing up and what did you do? You punked out. Anyone ever do that besides me? Now God doesn't love you. No, that's wrong. See, we think I'm doing real good, God loves me. I'm not doing so good, God, he loves me. He's his father and he tolerates me, but he's kind of really bugged at me, if truth be told. What are you talking about? God is love. Objectively, God is love. Okay? Peter, do you have agapeo love for me? Lord, you know I have phileo love for you. Fair enough. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, actually. Little sheep. Children. He saith them again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Wait. What are we doing? We just had this. Did you forget? What's going on now? Three times. Why? Peter's life happens in three. Did you notice that? Okay, he denied him three times. He has to be threefold restored. You remember in Cornelius' house and he sees a vision, what, three times? Welcome to Peter's life. It just works out in threes. I don't know if that's the way it is with you. I wish God told me everything just once and I learned it and remembered it forever. And I would say there are some things it's been three times. Some things it's been 303 times, right? Because I just not a very apt student sometimes. I'm not on board about learning this. Like, he's very zealous about teaching me, but he's only got this student to work with, and I'm not so ardent, so on fire about learning some things sometimes. But anyway, Peter's life happens in three. So the second time, he says to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He says it slightly three different times, three different ways. Peter answers, it's the same material. Peter answers slightly. They don't use the same phrase every time, okay? There's a little bit of a change there. Why? I don't know, keep freshening it up. I don't know. So we don't think it's like a, an equation. You know, this is how you got to do it. You know, step one, step two, step three, and then do it three times. Do you love me? What's the word? Agapeo. Lovest thou me? He saith him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He's appealing to his knowledge. You know. Forget what I say. I'm a knucklehead. Look, I blew it in the worst way ever. Let's do it this way. You know, I have phileo love for you. It's enough. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. I think the first one is, it says feed my lambs. I think it's fold my lambs. Here's feed my sheep. Aren't you? How do you feed sheep, by the way? We're doing it now. Give them more to God. It's what you need. It's your daily bread. The good shepherd, what does he do? He leads them in green pastures, right? Pools of still water. Who's the water of life? Jesus Christ is. Who's the bread of life? Jesus Christ is. I give you Jesus. I think I'm doing all the feeding. I look before God, and as God's always saying, I tried as hard as I could to do the commission you gave me to do. But he's not talking to me. He's not talking to just me. He's talking to you. So what do I do? Start a Bible study? Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what God's calling you to do, or just go across the street and talk to your neighbor. Listen, I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not telling you how this plays out in your life, but I'm telling you, you love the Lord, you need to feed his sheep. You need to encourage, you need to help. I know we're all gifted spiritually. Some can speak and teach, and some can just forward somebody a podcast or a YouTube video and say, hey, watch this, meant so much to me. It's really blessed me. You need to hear this. Is that feeding his sheep? Is that folding his lambs? Is that serving the Lord? You can't serve anyone better or higher. Again, you know, we talk a lot about, like, you know, feeding the poor and stuff. Like, that's a wonderful thing to do. Keep them alive long enough to hear the gospel. And Jesus loves us to benefit the poor. He wants us to be friends of Israel. Why? So they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved. I mean, it all comes down to that. Because again, you know, we talk about let's get people sober and let's get people, you know, off of drugs. That's a wonderful thing. But if they're drug-free in hell, I don't know that you... swing and a miss, right? I don't know that we actually did them any tremendous favors. In the end of the day, feed his sheep. What does that look like? Well, listen. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. We'll let you and God work out the details. But I'm telling you, that's what he's got for each and every one of us. And how that works for you, that's up to you and the Lord. He said to him the third time. It sounds like a joke, you know. You know, this guy talks to this genie, and you know, he's always like this, and this happens, and the third time's the payoff, you know. I think we get that from Scripture, because it's a lot of times it's like stuff like that happens like this. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, this is what happens, and you've got to understand, this is so key, and this is so Jesus, and this is so... Simon Peter, son of Jonah, phileo thou me, do you love me? I'm using your word, whatever it means. I know it means love, but I'm going to use your style of love. Do you love me like you say you love me? Do you at least love me that way, that much? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. No, Peter, don't be grieved. He's publicly reinstating you. You denied him three times. Three times he has to go through this. If he only does it twice, it's almost kind of leaving one of the denials out there. You know what I mean? This is a restoration. Let God restore you fully. Let him heal you totally. Let him do the work in you that he wants to do. Let him make it complete, and let him make you come to full repentance. Whatever it is he wants to do in your life, let him do it. Let him have his work in you. Don't be grieved. I was such a knucklehead. He's going through these great histrionics to get me unknuckleheaded. I mean, he's working in such a way that... And is Jesus hating Peter? No, of course he's not. He's loving Peter. Why is Peter grieved? I don't think Peter understands quite. I don't think he gets it, but I think he'll look back on this. And I think this would be like one of the high points in his whole life. Peter, do you have phileo love for me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Let's go with what you know. I'm not going to, it's not what I say, it's what you know. That's how we're going to proceed from this. You know everything. You know that I love thee. Jesus said, okay, fair enough. Fair enough. You have phileo love for me? You know I have phileo love for you. You know everything. Feed my sheep. Verily, verily. Remember, verily, verily. It's truly, truly. Amen, amen. This is really true. I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the martyrdom and eventual crucifixion of Peter. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. It's a euphemism. Can I demonstrate? Okay, that's not the right side, maybe way out here, but that's what he's saying. Peter, you when you're a young man, you did everything you wanted, and you did just how you call it, you call all the shots, you're going to be an old man. You're going to stretch out your hands. You're going to be crucified. Another shall gird thee. You wear whatever you want. On this day, you're going to wear what they tell you to wear. And they're going to carry thee to a place that you don't want to go. And he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You think I'm making this up? I'm not. Verse 19 tells us. He's going to be crucified, and he's going to glorify God in his death. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Oh, you're going, well, you know, when you follow me, it's going to result in death. And by the way, it doesn't change when you follow him, it's going to result in death. You have a cross in your future too. Pick it up daily and follow him. Death to self. I don't want to be over dramatic, but I want to be dramatic. This is the price for following Jesus Christ. It's death to self. It doesn't, what you want, sweetheart, listen, hero, what you want is not important. What God wants, that's what we're here for. Lord, here's your servant, your handmaid, you're the guy who your bond slave. What you say is what I want. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. You're saying, why did Jesus prophesy Peter's death? Well, he'll find out about it soon enough. Now, from now till the time he dies, he's going to be dreading every time he's arrested. Remember when he's arrested and it's the angel of the Lord comes and opens the door? Do you know what that was? That was at Passover. Tomorrow, I'm done. I'm going to get crucified just like Jesus was crucified. He said so. Angel shows up. You are, Peter, but not tonight. And he opens the door. Get dressed. We're out of here. And he opens the prison doors. The guards are asleep. You know, and why did he just let him find out? Why is he telling him that? You know, I thought about this, and I thought, and I think I come up with an answer, by the way. I thought about this, and listen. He's going to dread that. But I would think that Peter would rejoice when he heard this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because when the game was on the line, he already denied Jesus. The game's going to be on the line, and he's going to die. He's going to go to his grave saying, I serve him. I follow him. You got nails for me? Well, bring it. You got a cross? Well, that's fine. But I got to tell you something right now. I'm standing with Jesus Christ. And I think, because Jesus is prophesying this, and he knows the end from the beginning. And Peter's saying, oh, I may mess up. I may do stupid things. But when all the dust settles, I'm going to die glorifying Jesus Christ. And this, I think, was the biggest, most blessing thing he could say to Jesus. That Jesus could say to him. And that's the reason I think he's prophesying it. Do you realize how broken the man is? Now Jesus has restored him. I don't know if all the medicine has taken effect to the point where Peter's Peter. I mean, after Pentecost, it's different because the Spirit of God's going to come. It could be all different. But here, at least he knows this. When it's all over, I'm going to be on his team. I won't die denying him. I will die owning him and confessing him. And I think this is just what he needed to hear. And then in the end, Jesus says, follow me. Because that's what he said to him at the beginning. Drop your nets. Follow me. Hey, you want to be fishers of fish? Well, that's fine. That's an honorable profession. That's wonderful. But you know what I got in store for you? I want you to be fisher of men. Follow me. And now the last words in the gospel to Jesus, that Jesus says to him, follow me. Well, it's not the last words. There's going to be more. But that's what he's got to say to him. Follow me. And he reestablishes them. Okay, you had a bad spell. You and me, we fixed that. It's over. It's history. It's in the past. I got new work for you to do based on your pronounced love. You announced it. You said it with your own mouth. You love me. I got work for you to do. Now, let's get on board. Follow me. Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved falling, which also leaned on his breast at supper. Of course, this is John. And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Again, he's just, that's John. That's what John said. John's just saying, me. It's a long way to say. Peter turned and said, he saw me. And he's just, okay. The disciple whom Jesus loved, one, which also leaned over his breast at supper, two, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth me? John. Okay, that's all. So that's John's way of saying, Peter turned and saw me. And he said, seeing him, me, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Peter, you're incorrigible. Peter, you're just, you're a hard nut to crack. You really are. I have to laugh at this. I mean, I went through this whole thing, Jesus said. I've restored you. I reestablished you. I'm going to tell you how you're going to die. I got to tell you something. I want you to follow me. And all the time between now and that time, this is the work I have for you to do. Oh, yeah? What about him? Oh. Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Did you not get the download? Follow me. Forget about him. That's got nothing to do with it. And by the way, I think it's so helpful. If I find that you're not walking in the faith, that would be a terrible tragedy in my life. I've seen it. I remember we were working in youth group, and we were pouring our lives into children who, by and large, we never saw any fruit. And we heard about their demise or what their life looks like, and it's gone from, you know, several marriages, broken lives, drugs. Satan has just had carnage in their lives. And is that hard to see? Does it make a difference to me and am I following Jesus Christ? If you turned and said, I'm out of here. I'm done with Jesus. I have nothing. I forget about it. That would be tragic. Would it change my heart? No, I mean, the others forsake him, still I'm going to follow. I mean, if I will that he tarry till I come. When I come back, if he's still alive, that's none of your business, okay? Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. This is how myth and legend and stuff gets started. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what's that to thee? So John's setting the record straight, and we know that there was early on. He outlived all the other disciples. He went to Patmos. He got the revelation. He came back. To Ephesus, presumably, I believe so, and I think he died there. I think his tomb is there and it's venerated, I'm not sure. So he did die. And by the way, shortly after his death, this rumor stopped, ostensibly, right? but what about this guy? Look, if that question is born over love for your brother or sister, great. If you're concerned and you love them and you are worried about the direction they're taking, great. I think that's a wonderful thing. And talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I see this one and they're making some tragic errors. Oh, God, straighten them out, please. And maybe he's going to say, I want you to go and I want you to talk to them. Maybe. I don't know. Again, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be. Let's worry about our own selves. Though others forsake him, I'm going to follow. There is no plan B. There's no backup. There's no... If I'm the last one in the world who has faith, God help me, I want to follow him every day of my life. And we all have to come to that place. Others, well, I hope others are along for the ride. The more the merrier. It's always a joyful, fun time when more people show up and more people are worshiping God, the more people are loving the Lord, more people serving the Lord. We love that. We want that. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You follow me, Jesus would say to each and every one of us. Don't worry about that guy. Oh, worry about him in the sense of love. He's not saying, I want you to hate John from now on. He's saying, me and John, I'll deal with John. Right now I'm dealing with you. You follow me. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. We know this is John. And he wrote these things. We know that his testimony is true. I haven't told you. This has been almost a, I don't know, 30-something weeks or something, I think, of if I went back and counted all that. I haven't told you anything that isn't reliable testimony. I haven't gossiped. I haven't talked about possibilities. We're talking about an eyewitness account from somebody who's there. We talk about the resurrection. You know what happened? Jesus resurrected from the dead. This is a reliable eyewitness to the facts and the surrounding the life, the ministry, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can bank your eternity on it. He was there, and he's telling us what? We know his testimony is true. At the end of the day, I think those are the only real categories, truth and error, or truth and deceit. And I don't care if you're wrong and you know you're wrong, or you're wrong and you don't know you're wrong, you're still wrong. And we're those who worship the truth. We're those who worship the capital T truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? So this is true truth. John's saying, listen, I wouldn't lie to you. I was there. I saw the whole thing. I have a reliable memory. The Holy Spirit of God is guiding my path. I'm not telling you anything that's not worthy of your full acceptance. Now, is this everything Jesus did? No, we got verse 25, we'll end here. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Hyperbole, to be sure. Oh, I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't think it's a hyperbole. You decide. Either way, I don't think you're going to be a heretic, okay? I'll give you permission to take this verse and do with it what you and the Holy Spirit deem appropriate. I think it's verbatim. I think it's actual. We've talked about this in the past. There's a book in Scripture written by Gad the seer, not referred to in Scripture, but we don't have it. But we have it. There's a prophet in the Bible called Enoch, and he has written a book that's not in Scripture. The book of Jubilees is in Scripture. The book of Jasher is in Scripture. Enoch's not in Scripture. Gad's not in Scripture. How much Scripture do you want? Isn't it hard enough getting it through the whole thing in 1 year now? I mean, it could be 2, 3, 4, 100 times bigger. I mean, if you want, right? He's given us everything that we need to know. He's given us all the things that we need to know. So what are you saying? Don't acquaint myself with the book of Enoch or First and Second Maccabees, or I shouldn't understand or know anything about Gad the seer. Listen, if you get all caught up and you understand the Scripture and you want to delve into one of the, do so with my blessing, because several of those are good reading and good history, okay? I'll even tell you which ones I like. But listen, there could be scripture and scripture and scripture and scripture. There could be, instead of four gospel writers, there could be 1,000. Right? We'll ferret out just most everything that he said. No, you have all you need right here. That's what's being said. Oh, there's a lot more things he did. Why did John tell us that? Well, that's what eternity's for. You all know him in a way you don't even know him now, okay? I'm just saying. You say, well, what is Gad? What does that say? Well, you'll meet Gad soon enough. You can ask him. He wrote a book, I understand. He'll talk to you all about it. It'll be wonderful in glory. And again, I want to say I'm not against those books. Focus. Here's your focus, okay? Here's your daily bread. Here's what you need. This is what you need. Old Testament, New Testament, minor prophets, poetry, wisdom. You need it all, okay? This is what God has given us.